You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you very much. Take thy word and help us. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, as we have finished the Feast of the Tabernacles and reminding us in the light of the chapter 7, the people are responding, remember, to the wonderful invitation. In verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the invitation and the wonderful movement in the temple was responded to. And we share together in verse 40, "And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said," verse 41, "this is the Christ." And remember now, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, tried to arrest him. They couldn't. And they had an issue that they had to consider. Can a prophet arise out of Galilee? And of course, one did, Jonah, etc. But can he be the prophet? Can Christ be the prophet and the Christ the Messiah? And they couldn't arrest him, so they had to try to trap him to show that he was if he's the prophet, then he needs to honor the law of Moses. And they had the woman at the taken in adultery, Romans, John 8, 1 through 11. Now, having said that, and in the light of the season we're in, with Easter approaching, so we're going to go about 6 months from now. You're reading the woman taken in adultery. They couldn't get him. They never can get him. How do you trap, how do you trick the living God? You don't. So, moving 6 months into the future, we're going to go, if we can, over to Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, we have, it's recorded in four different windows. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each gives you a window to look at Christ. This incident of his entrance into Jerusalem, the last week, the last hours of his life, all four windows, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you can look out and see the entrance. Luke, in particular, hits the approaching the city. His emphasis is to see the Lord coming from the Mount of Olives down into the city. And thus, Luke chapter 19, and picking up, if I can, in verse 29, remember he went, and I'll even read it to pick up the flavor of it. "And when he had thus spoken," verse 28, "he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, Now, Bethany is where Mary and Lazarus and Martha live. That's about 2 miles, 1.5 miles, 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Bethphage is just another little place, Mount of Olives, not far away from Bethany, on the Mount of Olives, eastward. And thus, verse 30, saying, go ye into, and told he sent two of his disciples, into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they did that. Verse 32. And they were sent, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. No argument, no discussion. Colt has never been ridden. And they brought him to Jesus, verse 35, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and with all the might and with all for all the mighty works that they had seen. So the Lord Jesus Christ, having had 3.5 years approximately of public ministry, having been there just 6 months earlier, and here he is again coming in at the Passover. And you want to remember now, as he's coming into the city, he's out there and on the Mount of Olives. And in the process, they're all excited, and there's a crowd. And you want to remember the crowd is there. It's Passover. And in the process of the Passover, and as you would come, the descriptions that are made, and as you come from the Mount of Olives and go down, it's 3,000 feet, you're going to go down and then up in the Valley of Kidron. And as you go, you're going to go, and you're going to see tents everywhere. People are tented in booths, tents outside. They're sleeping, packed everywhere. All around the city is packed. So as you go down, as you look and go this 1.5 miles, 2 miles, it's loaded with people on every side. Every place there's a place to put a tent, a place for you to stay. You're staying there. So it's loaded with people. How loaded with people? Well, Josephus, the historian, 37 AD, in there, the historian tells us that in the process that they killed, remember, 256,500 lambs. So 256,500 lambs were killed during the Passover. That's a lot of lambs. And if you allow 10 people per lamb, which is reasonable, you would end up with 2.7 million people. That's a good hunk of the people of Israel. The nation of Israel is literally represented at that point. 2.7 million people there, everywhere. So you want to keep that in mind. Huge, huge crowd. And in doing that, and they're all shouting, Hosanna, the Lord save us, glory to God, etc. Save now, succor now, come to our help now, as they're singing. So now as they're going, and keeping in mind, as they're moving, they're going now, and we need to add to this, over if you would, we're going over for a moment, over to the Gospel of Zechariah. Chapter 9. Zechariah. And in the process, Zechariah chapter 9, you're looking at 500 years earlier, 520 BC. So way back there. Now the people are all familiar with some of it. It's Passover, and there are people that are familiar with the Bible, obviously. And so now, what is the prophecy? The prophecy. Now remember, the people are all excited 6 months ago. They're excited. He could be the Christ, the Messiah. He could be the prophet, Deuteronomy 18:15. He could be that prophet that would come, greater than Moses. He could be that prophet. The Pharisees, scribes, etc., are all concerned, what? If he's a prophet, we're in trouble. They can't get rid of the Lord. They can't get rid of him. They can't catch him. They're trying to kill him, but they can't get him. So now, he's going to come, and the prophecy is given. And all the prophet, of course, fulfills the prophecies. Chapter 9, Zechariah verse 9, as you know, rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, even a colt, the foal of an ass. So 500 years before, more than that, they were told, he's going to come in. When Messiah comes, he's going to become riding on a donkey, not a horse, war. He's going to come in peace, going to come and enter the city on a colt, never been ridden. And so our Lord is riding into the city, and the city is moved, motivated, very much so, about the whole thing. And in the process, Zechariah chapter 9, they have the word, they have the announcement. So now, he's coming in to the city. He's coming in as king. Coming in as king. They reject him as king. He's coming in as king. Hang on. Now, behold, thy king cometh. He's coming to you, the king. In God's will, in God's time, in God's way, he's coming in. Now, Matthew chapter 21. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. And you would recall, as he's entering, and they are, I'll read verse 9, and the multitude that went before him that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now, did they recognize? They identified him as the Messiah. That's what the crowd was identifying him, even though they had all the ups and downs, in and outs, and belief and unbelief. But at that point, the excitement is there, the movement is there, and thus they're all excited. Now, verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Who is this? Who is this? The crowd now, all excited. And now they're saying, who exactly is this? Verse 11. And the multitude, the great crowd, echoed, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Now that's the thing, they said, there's no prophet comes out of Galilee. They're trying to do everything they can to disqualify him as the prophet, as the Christ, as the Messiah. And here he comes into the city, and the crowd is acknowledging that he's the prophet. He's the one. Now hang on to that. And so there's approval and applause. And you can't go by crowds, because crowds go up and down, off and on. And the crowd that is going to approve today will disapprove tomorrow. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over back over Luke chapter 19. Luke in chapter 19. And if I can, picking up in thought, remember now they're all singing, chanting as they're going, the pilgrims, Psalm 118, as he would come in probably. And so now, here's the multitude. They all knew the Lord. He was the king. He's the prophet. He presented himself in a most wonderful way as the Messiah, the Christ. He did so. Now, and to tie that together again, hold your finger here and go over to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 11. And all we're doing is confirming that the crowd knew, they had no question, they weren't in the fog, they all knew who he was in a sense. Not in their heart, but in their head. Mark 11, verse 9. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse 9. Verse 10. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he comes into the city very, very wonderfully. They all knew who he was, no question. So as he comes into the city, on that day, as he enters the city, and in chapter, and remember verse 37, 38 of Luke chapter 19, Luke 19, 37 and 38, verse 38, Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39, now, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Now they're saying, A, the crowd is all super excited, but not from their heart. They're going to crucify him. They're going to yell, crucify him. But they're all excited, like people do. And the Pharisees, verse 39, are very much concerned that the crowd is so fired up that it's going to be hard to do anything against Christ. How do we crucify? How do we kill Christ when the crowd is so for him? So they're trying to tell the Lord to quiet the crowd down. They're saying things that aren't true, but they were true. And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is entering the city. It's his grand finale as he goes to the cross. Let it be known, in the light of the Word of God, in the light of all of Israel, let it be known who entered the city that day. Who is going to the cross? No questions asked. It isn't Barabbas. No. It's the King of Kings. In a negative atmosphere, God is going to rebuke them for their excitement because they aren't with it. But, and the Pharisees are there, and they aren't on the same page as they should be, and they are against the city. Therefore, against the Lord, I should say. So now, when the Lord answers them, verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So it's a very wonderful, wonderful occasion. Zechariah 9:9 said it would be a wonderful occasion. It didn't matter what the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, it didn't matter what anyone said. It didn't matter, Mr. Pharisee, if I tell the crowd to shut up, to be quiet, the stones themselves will speak. It is a mob. You know, when I stepped out of heaven, Luke chapter 2, there was a wonderful, wonderful excitement, not on earth, but in heaven. And the glory of the Most High God and what he was doing in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, heaven was excited. Heaven now is quiet, and Christ is entering the city. And God said, everyone take note. Everyone take heed who enters the city. I don't want any questions. I am who I am. I can be no other than who I am. I am He, the Christ, the Messiah, the Prophet, the Promised One. Now, having said that little bit, and the stones would cry out against Him. So now, in chapter 19 of Luke, verse 41, when He was come near, looking down, remember that's 3,000 feet you're coming down. When you come near the city, come near it, as you're coming down this path, all the way down to the Kidron Valley, and then through the gate. As you're coming down, you look, you see the whole, you would see over the wall, you would see the city. You wouldn't see the mosque, it wasn't there. You would see the temple. You would see Herod's temple, marvelous structure. Took 46 years or whatever it was to build it. Wow. Wow. Now, so they're looking. And our Lord, in all the excitement, in all the fervor. Verse 41. And in verse 41. And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it. He beheld the city and He wept. And the word weep isn't just crying. It's a wailing. It's a shedding of tears. It's an external expression of grief. There's an Old Testament word called lamentations. Lamentating. Grief. Broken. Sobbing. Not like at when Lazarus rose and he wept. That's different. They just didn't believe. He felt bad for them. Now he's sobbing over it. Wow. And they're all cheering. He's sobbing over the thing. Wow. What for? Why is that? Why do that, Lord? And, verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If you had just known this day, he's saying over and repeating it, if you know, if the city just knew, if, and you don't, condition, it's contrary to fact. If and you don't know, if only you had known, if only you had understood, but you don't understand what's happening. Over now, if you would, in your Bible, to Daniel, before you do that, in verse 42, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, this is a day, this special, special day for you when the king enters the city and you are all witnesses. This is your day before crucifixion. Over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel in chapter 9. Picking up in thought, if I may. Remember thou, he said, if you had just known, but they didn't know. They were unable to understand. What didn't they understand? Wow. So now here we are looking in Daniel chapter 9, and keep in mind, here you're talking about, I'll go over to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, so it's Israel, and Jerusalem. So we're looking at 70 is 7 times 70, 490 years, 70, 303. History, 360 days in a year. That isn't just Israel. That's what they did. Not 365. There were 5 days they had to add, but that was the normal count was 360. So 490 years times 360. Here you've got years or days. So now, it's going to be, it's about Israel, it's about it, and about the holy city, Jerusalem, and that's what it's all about. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem, the walls, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, unto the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks, 49, 7 times 7, 49, 49 years, 62 weeks, 434 weeks. And the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So there's going to be 49 years and from Nehemiah to the walls are built up in Jerusalem. And then, verse 26, after 62 weeks, that's 434 years more, that comes out to 483 years. Now, they got 7 years to go. Hang on. And 62 weeks, what's going to happen? Shall Messiah, remember verse 25, Messiah the prince, verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off, violently crucified, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. That's Titus, Rome, the 10th Roman legion came in and literally leveled the city, worse than others. Wow. Leveled the city. Now, here's the Messiah. He's going to be crucified. He's going to come into the city. At this time, you count the days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you're going to go all the way up, and when you put them together, that's when I enter the city. If you had just known the day, I told you the exact day I would come into the city. I gave you the exact information that I would enter the city as Messiah. Behold, thy king cometh. No question. No question. If you had just known the day, you didn't know the day. If you had just known it, you would have said it, this is the day. But you couldn't say it. Because you never put it together. Never put it together. And remember now, while you're looking, Titus came in, the 10th Roman legion, leveled the city, surrounded the city, and well, I'm going to forget that now. Go back over, if you would, to Luke. And in Luke chapter 19. I'll read again, verse 42. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, this thy day, not anyone else's, this is Jerusalem and the people of Israel. That whole prophecy is for that. That the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, and in the light of that. For Titus is coming. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about, surround Jerusalem, and compass thee round, and keep thee and in on every side, so no one can get out of Jerusalem, a slaughter of them all. A slaughter of them all. And verse 44, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. And the reason, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. You didn't understand the time. You missed the time. You missed it. You missed it. You're missing out. You're shouting, but he wept audibly. They just missed out. Over, if you would, we want to add to that. Over to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, in the temple, etc. And in chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, verse 36, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Time and time again, I tried to get you. Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar, I tried to get you. Now Titus, are you ever going to pay attention to me? Are you ever going to pay attention? Behold, verse 38, your house is left unto you desolate, empty. Temple's gone, buildings are gone, the records, all the records of Jews' genealogy gone. Wow. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall see, you shall say, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God, here we are looking, and Titus went and leveled that city, the destruction of the city. And they were to know it, they were to understand it, and they knew, they didn't know the time of their visitation. They didn't realize that wonderful time that God would bless them. Back over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Here is Christ making a very, very, very public, very, very clear. And in the day of thy visitation, verse 44, visitation has to do with the inspecting, coming a point at which you come and visit to inspect, to benefit, to bring relief. You had a wonderful opportunity. You shouted very clearly my name, who I was. I was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You recited it. But you didn't have it in your heart. You talked about me, but you didn't know me. You went and crucified me. That's what you did. You're all excited. I'm telling you, as I wept, I burst into tears. What privilege you have had, and you put it aside. I gave you wonderful, wonderful opportunity to know who I am. Do you know if anyone that knows Allah? You don't know anyone that knows Allah, because Allah is not. God is God, not Allah as they understand him, but God is, but they don't know him. Think of how much time has gone. If you just know the day, if you had just known, to think how many times we've had all kinds of privilege. God said to know me, to honor me, to understand me, all kinds of times. And you keep going and you talk about me, but you don't know me. You hope I'm there, but you don't know I'm there. So God, here we are going down the corridor of time, and there was great excitement, enthusiasm, energy, a lot of false hope, a lot of false expectancy. It wasn't going to happen. It was going to be just the opposite. He's going to be crucified. And all of the hopes and all of that you have are going to disappear. Now, in the process of all of that, God, in your great design, what was missing? Over, if you would please, to Luke, you're here, chapter 19. Luke 19, and may I pick up the incident in the light of Zacchaeus, if I can. And I want to go directly, remember Zacchaeus is up in a little tree, the cry, the Lord is going through Jerusalem, through Jericho, and he's up in the little tree, and the Lord passes by everybody except this man in the tree, trying to see him, and he stops and invites the man down, and he goes to the man's house. And verse 19 and 9, and Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." So Zacchaeus, it's your day, your time. And Zacchaeus was looking for him. He said, "I want to see him as he goes by." Of all the people, no one even said boo. Cheering, looking, curious, exciting. But no reaction. Zacchaeus had action. His heart was beating. Beating. Wow. God, salvation has come to your house today. Now, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Lost. Plain lost. It doesn't mean, remember we've shared it before, it doesn't mean he can't find. It doesn't mean it's lost in that way, no. I remember the illustration, easy one to see. Here we are in London where there's a lot of heavy fog. And the process in London, heavy fog on the night, in the night. And the little girl had strayed from her mother. And the little girl was in the middle of the streets and winding around wherever she was. And so the mother was extremely concerned. The little girl wasn't concerned too much. She just went from one thing to another as she moved. She wasn't concerned. No. She didn't understand the danger. She didn't understand the danger in those streets. The mother did. The little girl didn't realize she was lost. The mother did. The mother was concerned. God, you know we're lost. And you know it, and you wept over the city. They're lost. And we don't know it in the world. We don't know we're lost. What are we missing? What's missing in our life? What's missing? Nothing. Nothing's missing. We're lost. It isn't that you're lost. You aren't saved. You aren't saved. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to tell him who I am. I'm saying it very loud and clear. No one ever is going to misunderstand. Israel is a nation attesting to the word of God and the God of the word. And all the world is going to know. No question. Who was crucified? We crucified. And what did Pilate write over the cross? King of the Jews. You betcha. You betcha. King. King. No question he's king. But what are we doing with him? He had to go to the cross. He had to go there. There was no choice. And the Pope, all the hope that people had, they were so hoping. And you know what? Their hopes were all dashed to pieces when he was crucified. The hope was all gone. No, what do you mean all gone? Well, let me say, go right up to where we are today. Do you know many Jewish people, synagogues, that are very much, apart from Orthodox maybe, a little, not much though, looking for the Lord's return, for the Messiah? Are they looking for the Messiah? Do they expect the Messiah? Do they expect the promised one? Are they looking? No. Do you hear anything about it? No, Easter's a Christian thing. Easter is a Christian thing, you see. It isn't our thing. you know, what happened to the Israel? It went down the hill. And all the hope and all the expectancy disappeared. You know what's happened to the church? We have lost the wonderful return of our blessed Lord, called the blessed hope. And you know what? We're just like they are. We're stuck on planet Earth, and we're trying to cheer Easter and God and good, but hey, no more than that, because after all, April 10th will come, and Easter's all over. It's all gone. All gone away. What did you get? Nothing. You got nothing out of it. We're just like they are. How world is. You had a great opportunity, a great time to remember, a wonderful time. I'm a wonderful Savior. I really am. But God, we're too, not us, not you guys, but people are caught up. The excitement, the enthusiasm, the energy, but they don't have any hope. And that's what's happening now. And I shared it the other day. You're having a repeat of the 60s all over again. A frustrated world. Vietnam, we can't fix Vietnam, so we rebel and go drugs, drink, and sex. And what are we doing now? We're rebelling. We don't understand how to fix our global, the colossal globe. The Titanic is headed to a cosmic iceberg. Unavoidably. No way around it. In the world. We don't have that. I don't have that. That's where it's going. That's fine. It seems to be. And the tribulation has to come. It has to come. It has to come. It's the way it is. God, I told you a house is going to be desolate. And there's 483 years. And I got 7 years to go, God said. I finished my first 483 and entered Jerusalem and died. The last 7 years, Daniel 9:27, a treaty is going to be signed in Europe with the Antichrist, by the Antichrist with Israel. And that will finish my 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, I am coming. Is anyone going to pay attention? Anyone paying attention? Wow. God, here we are. And we are able to look and we sympathize. We empathize with you that you wept. What privilege, what wonderment could be for the human heart if they would but take it. If the church, when it loses looking for the blessed hope, in my Father's house are many abiding places, I wouldn't bother telling you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And by the way, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. No. And the world, Peter, think of 2 Peter. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? He isn't coming. Nothing's going to happen. But it is. It is. It is. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, deal with our heads and hearts and homes and health, and God, what do we know? Help us a little bit, if you would. God, we need it. Encourage, stimulate the believing heart. And our God, we're going to thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. Thank you, God, that we are wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully to be excited. And in the same breath, to have a healthy, holy concern for where the world is and where it's headed. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza or two of 548. 548.